Hear the word of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. The word of the Lord.
Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, now what I'm about to do actually does have something to do with the sermon, which will, I hope be made evident in a moment. Yesterday, of course, was Veterans Day, and we don't do it often enough, and we often don't do it well enough, but we really would like to honor our veterans who are here today. If you have served in the armed forces of our country, would you please stand right now so that we can honor you? It is fitting that we honor veterans. Yesterday there was parades and speeches and ceremonies, and fitting that we do that, that we honor those who have served in this way. You are here this morning because it is fitting that we honor God with our worship, right? That's why we're here. And I assume that because you are a Christian, you've given thought to how to honor God with your life, how to honor God with your daily activities, your daily responsibilities, your daily work. You've given thought to how to honor God in your relationships. If you're married, with your spouse, with friends, with family members. This text that Janet just read from the book of Proverbs, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. So this message today is all about how to honor God with money that he has entrusted to you. The second part of the verse explains how to do the first part. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your produce. Now, first fruits is not a term that's real common in our society today. It's a farming term, very much at home in the agrarian culture of ancient Israel. It refers to the first portion of your harvest. Well, maybe you do know this term. If you've ever grown tomatoes, the first ones to come off are really good. And at the tail end of the summer, when it's starting to get cold, a little sketchy, right? Honor the Lord with the first fruits of your produce. Once again, if you were a farmer in ancient Israel, they had three harvests. So three times a year, you would bring in your first fruits to the temple as an offering to the Lord. First fruits does not refer to the amount of the gift, but the nature of the gift. To give right off the top, the biblical concept of the tithe is about the amount of the gift, 10%. But first fruits, once again, refers to the nature of the gift. That is to say, okay, which 10% do I give? Because I potentially could take all my produce and divide it up into 10 parts, Which one do I give first? And I suspect that if Christians were to really start taking this biblical principle seriously, it would revolutionize our giving habits. Research has shown that most Christians don't give first fruits, and I just got to be really blunt about it. Most Christians give leftovers. Research shows that most people will do their budget by meeting their own needs and wants first, and then out of what's left over, make a gift to God's work. That's the way most Christians give. Now let me ask you, and it's a question that answers itself, does that really honor God? The verse says honor. The proverb says honor God with your wealth. I want you to imagine something along with me, and this is very easy to imagine. It's a very common thing. It happens all the time. You and a friend or you and your spouse go out to a really nice restaurant here in Boise or Meridian, and you have a really nice, really scrumptious meal. Big hunk of ribeye or pork loin or salmon, or if you're really odd, some kind of weird nut-filled vegan thing. But the rest of us are eating, you know, the rest of us are eating meat. But that's okay, you know, whatever, that really is okay. And along with it, you know, there's some asparagus, grilled asparagus with hollandaise sauce and some really nice garlic mashed potatoes. And then at the end of the meal, and you don't really eat all that because you want to save some room for a cup of coffee and a piece of pie for dessert. So you got some really choice portions of that meal left over. So what do? You ask your waiter to bring out one of those nifty styrofoam boxes, right, with the lid. And you can never figure out, does it go this way or this way? And inevitably you get it wrong and open it so that it comes. Anyway, they bring out one of those styrofoam boxes for your leftovers, and it makes a really easy meal the next day, right? But suppose Sharla and I invite you over to dinner at our house. And maybe you've heard that Moran likes to cook, and you've heard that, or maybe experienced that Sharla makes an awesome apple pie. And so you're really looking forward to dinner at the Morans, and you come over to our house, and we invite you in, and the dining room table is all set, and suddenly I get up and I say, okay, wow, let's eat. And I proceed to go over to the refrigerator and pull out four or five styrofoam boxes. Let's see, we got Casa Mexico here, half a chili relleno, that's for you. And, a nice little hunk of steak from Chandler's. It might have a little gristle on it, but anyway, do you feel honored? What's that? What's that? What did he say? No, you don't feel honored. Yeah, in fact, you're insulted, aren't you? Don't hand God a styrofoam box of your leftovers. So why are first fruits so important to God? Is God like a child who has to get the first piece of birthday cake? Well, no. The principle of first fruits, I think God instructs us in this because giving the first fruits activates our faith. Now, let me explain to you what I mean by that. Imagine you're an ancient Israelite subsistence farmer. And by the way, there's still subsistence farmers in the world today. I've seen them in Africa. As a subsistence farmer, you live from harvest to harvest. You are totally dependent on the vagaries of the weather and other conditions, insects and whatnot. If your harvest doesn't come in, you and your family don't eat. There will be hunger in your house. There's no Winco or Albertson to run to. They have nothing to spare, no margin in life. Now, what kind of faith does it take to bring the first and the best of your produce and bring it to the temple? This is for the work of the Lord. It puts you in a position, it activates your faith, it puts you in the position that you have to depend on God totally for your provision. Giving leftovers requires zero faith. You don't have to trust God if you always look after yourself first. If you're only giving out of the surplus, you're only giving what you really don't need. It requires no risk, no dependence. Your finances stay tightly under your control. But when you give the first fruits right off the top, and maybe sometimes not knowing where the rest will come from, now you're stepping out into faith. I thought about this as I was thinking about our veterans. Chuck Davies, who was here last week, was a member of the 82nd Airborne Division. And I got to thinking about that. And I don't know if anybody else here has ever jumped out of an airplane, but you can talk and talk and talk about believing in parachutes. I'm not going to listen to you very much until you make that jump. Now you believe in parachutes. Your faith is activated. And this is why I've found, as a general rule, people who give generously and sacrificially have a strong and vibrant faith, because they're saying no to the idol of money and they're putting themselves in a position of reliance on God. And that does so much. When you see God come through, it does so much to feed your faith. And when we give the first fruits, we're not only activating our faith, we're honoring God and giving God what is His due, because God deserves nothing less. We owe Him our first and best because God gave His first and best, didn't He? God has given us His one and only begotten Son, Jesus, His firstborn, who took on human flesh, who went to the cross in our place, who voluntarily gave His life on the cross to cleanse broken sinners like you and me, who endured separation from the Father, who cried out, my God, why have You forsaken Me? God did this out of love for you and me. We didn't ask Him to do it. We certainly didn't do anything to deserve it. He gave His first and His best. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. God gave His first and His best. Romans 5:8 says, God shows His love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He gave His first and His best. And because God gave the first and the best, how could we give anything less? But I want to get really practical here. Very practically speaking, how does this work? Well, let me offer some guidance. And that's just what this is. It's guidance. Number one, resolve First and foremost, resolve right now that you're going to place your financial life under the lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, we have a bad habit of being selective in the areas of our life where we want Christ's lordship to be effective. And you can have dominion over all of this, Lord, but this piece over here, no. Commit right now that you're placing your finances under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's step one. Step two, make a commitment to tithe of the first fruits. In other words, sit down sometime this afternoon or sometime this week and figure out your total income and 10% of that income and make a commitment to set that apart first for the Lord's work. Now, I also, and if you've hung around very long, you've heard me say this before, and I know that, and by the way, I'm not asking you to do something that Sharla and I don't do. But I know that the idea of 10%, you're going through your family budget in your mind right now, and the idea of 10% is a short circuit. Let me suggest as a pastor that if that is just too daunting right now, begin with percentage giving. The way to escape the trap of giving leftovers is to make a commitment to percentage giving off the top first. And if 10% is too daunting, pray it through and God will direct maybe 3%, 5%, whatever you think you can do right now. And then make a commitment to grow 1% each year until you reach 10%. And I also want to throw in a really important caveat here. Husband and wife have to be in agreement on this. You may be part of a couple that your spouse doesn't come to church, or you just know you're not going to be in agreement about this. And if you're not in agreement, you just do what you can do as God directs you. Because we're not talking about giving out of guilt or out of duty, but out of trust. And that's why I love the context of this verse. I've been quoting this verse about giving the first fruits. Honor God with your wealth and with the first fruits. I love the context that's found in. Just a few verses earlier, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That's a great promise. Not giving out of guilt or compulsion or duty, but out of wholehearted trust that the Lord is going to meet your needs, that he will provide. And it ends with a great promise. Let me read it again. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your produce, and then the promise. Then your barns will be filled with plenty. Your vats will be bursting with wine. It's an image of abundance. When we give our first fruits, our Heavenly Father makes a commitment to us that he will provide everything we really need. So let me leave it with this. Trust your Heavenly Father. He knows your needs, and he's faithful. He'll lead, and he'll provide. Let's bow together in prayer. God, we thank you for the abundant provision. We are a blessed people, and we know it. We have so much. Lord, out of all that you've given, well, first of all, we want to just say thank you. Thank you, Lord. This is your blessing, gifts from your hand, that we live in this nation of freedom and abundance and of so many opportunities that have been placed before us that so many others around the world can't imagine. We give you thanks, oh God. And so, oh God, give us hearts of humility and generosity. Lord, we want to honor you. We want to honor you with the whole of our lives and with our financial lives as well. So lead us each one, I pray. In Christ's name, amen.